Well, as parents, Susan and I are definitely proud of Sarah in not only a couple things. Number one, her heart for people, but also her heart for the gospel. And she challenges us to keep fresh and to always be remembering that people need the Lord and that we have the answer for what is there. In fact, a couple years ago, I have something with experience with Sarah that relates to our topic this morning, and that is when a couple years ago she was flying off to Italy to lead a mission team there for a group of college students for the summer. And she was flying out of DFW, and so we were down as a family with her together before she took off, and then I took her to the airport. And I'll never forget, as we were turned onto the highway to get to the DFW, it was just a completely blue sky, and then all of a sudden there was this like wall. I've never seen it like this before. It was just a big, black, ominous cloud. I mean, and it was just it went for miles in both directions, and it was just like this big roll. It almost, the way I could describe it, it was like this big, huge wave that was coming at you. If you've ever been in the water, you see this big wave coming, you're like, oh my gosh. That's what it looked like. And so I'm checking my radar as we're going, and there wasn't any tornado. It just seemed like it was going to be major, just rain, and people are pulling off the highway. And I'm thinking to myself, I know we got to get her there, you know, but what are we going to do? And probably the better sense would have been to pull over, you know, but I kept kind of going. And so we were just 10 miles an hour just going, people are pulling off. And it's that kind of thing, if you've ever been in a storm, when the rain is coming down faster than your windshields. And they're on fast, you know, but it's not like getting anything away. And so we're just kind of crawling along. We get her to the airport. And even when at the toll booth at the airport, they just lifted up the gates and said, just go through. Don't stop. You know, just keep going. And so got her to the airport. And everything turned out good. And I just kind of waited there and waited out the storm while she went in to the hotel and checked in and got on her trip. I don't know why in my family, we're pretty fascinated with weather. And I don't know if it's because I come from ranching background and everything's done outside, and so you're so dependent on rain, you just are always wondering the forecast. So I call my family member, you know, I can go, hey, what's the weather like? You know, like, who cares? You know, but anyway, the weather, we're talking about the weather. In fact, when I married Susan, she came into our family, she's like, I've never seen a family so concerned about weather. You guys are just always talking about the weather and what's the weather and you know, and what's it like? And, you know, when I was looking at that in these storm clouds coming, they were like signs. In fact, there's an old weather proverb for sailors, and it says, "Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight." So, in other words, if you're a sailor and you're out on the seas or you're crab fishing or whatever you're doing, if you see a red sky in the morning, it's going to be bad. Because there's things that are coming along. It's just a natural sign God's put in place. But if you see a red sky at night, it just means it's going to be calm as we go along. In fact, that old weather proverb actually comes from a saying of Jesus in Matthew 16, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees are coming after Jesus and they're testing him and they're wanting to know their son. Just show us a sign. Show us a sign that you're real. And Jesus says this, "When the evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." And here's where it gets interesting, is you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you can't interpret the signs of the times. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those that can't understand the culture and doesn't know, looking around, what's going on and have any kind of inkling of what's happening spiritually. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like the men of Issachar that give just one line in 1 Chronicles when it says, "And the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what they should do." So not only were they able to see the sign and recognize what was coming on, but they knew how to respond. And so my question this morning would be, as we look at our culture, is it a red sky at night or is it a red sky in the morning? I mean, when we look at what's going on and we see everything that's happening, it is a red sky in the morning. In other words, the scripture is saying, so people, take warning. And as we enter into this discussion of end times, we see words like signs and warnings and prophecies. And honestly, when you dig into this, there's a tension to that. And if you've been around faith very long, you understand that part of faith is living with tension. that we, because we don't know everything, we don't control everything, obviously, and so there's some things that we don't know. And when it comes to the end times, the tension is, on one aspect, you have signs and warnings that are imminent and are saying, hey, beware, he could come soon, and all those kinds of things. But on the other hand, you have where it's saying, but there's some things that need to be done yet. We have seen things that seem to be need to be accomplished scripturally and before he comes. So you're like, well, which one is it? And there's a tension in there. And that's what I want to cover this morning. So here's where we're going to go. We're going to just talk about signs and warnings and what their purpose is. What must occur before the end comes. Now remember, if you weren't here last week, we went through kind of the big picture, and you can go back and take a look at that, and we'll refer to it every once in a while, but just remember, for us, the end is not the end. The end is really the beginning. And so as we continue on, we want to know, what are some of the things that need to occur then before we come? And then I want to end with five what I would call W's of living in this end times tension of what we can do. And then we'll take communion together. So let's just start with the signs and or the purpose of a sign, with signs and warnings. And any kind of sign that you have, particularly a natural sign and things that are happening, the whole reason for them is to intensify your expectation. It's to intensify your expectation. So say, for instance, when I saw those storm clouds coming, it really intensified my expectations that this is not going to be good, that something's coming down the path. When I'm out in the Mountain West and I'm hiking on a trail and I see some fresh bear scat that's steaming, that intensifies my expectation that there's a bear in the area. And the fact that it's steaming means that it's really, really close. And so they're probably going to have an encounter of some time. So when you think about the signs then of the end times, the whole purpose of it is to intensify our expectation of Christ's return. He says, when you look at the signs and you see them, it is supposed to intensify your expectation, like he's coming soon. He's going to come. We need to be ready. Like, oh my gosh, look at that. That's exactly what he's talked about. That's happening in increased number. These things are happening. And it's all going, wow, okay. Yeah, this thing is really playing out the way that God said it would play out. In fact, in Luke 21, Jesus says this, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on in the world. Now, it would be the opposite of those who are believers, because it's going to intensify our hope. But then there's, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken, it says, and at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And here's the application. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. The whole purpose on that is, he says, look, stand up. It is, get ready. Something's coming. You don't want to be lackadaisical about this. Something is coming. You want to be ready. You want to know. You want to be in firm and readiness, not just kind of hanging out, couch potato, just like, oh, it doesn't really matter, you know, I'm going to go. And he says, no, be ready. Draw up. Lift up your eyes. Look. See what's going on. Don't ignore it. And the purpose of a warning then, because the difference between a sign, while a sign increases our expectations, a warning is supposed to keep our hearts from going astray before he returns. So the warning is, don't get lackadaisical, because he knows our hearts are prone to wander. And the longer something goes on, the more it is delayed, the more our hearts will just be prone to wander. Notice what it says in Mark 13. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping, which would be our tendency. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. I mean, could it be any more clear? Watch, be on your guard, be on your alert. Don't let them find you sleeping. Don't just be lackadaisical right before this. Now, here's the deal. Right before this, he says, you may not be able to know when, but you can look and see the signs. He says, especially for those of you who are in Christ. If Christ is in you, the Spirit will begin to reveal to you and see the culture in a different light, and you'll begin to see things and you'll know. Wow, it's coming. It's coming soon, which is why he can say, don't ignore them. I kind of liken it to, you know, when the Lord says, here, I want you to pray, and I want you to persevere in prayer, and there are some prayers that get answered right away, and there are some prayers that just take a long time, like generations, you know, it's on and on and on, and you pray for it, and it says, don't give up, keep praying, keep going for it. It's like, don't get lazy on it. Keep praying, keep asking, keep going. Don't give up. Keep expecting God, you know, to do something, and that he'll work in one way or another, even if it's not the way that you would expect him to. Just know that he's doing something in the midst of this. And so both signs and warnings speak of something that is more imminent. It's like it's coming, so be ready. It's coming. But then on the flip side, you also have the scripture where it talks about there's certain things that need to happen before he comes. And he's listed these out. And there are many of these, but just a few of these. One, the preaching of the gospel to all nations. And so the readiness to get the gospel out and take it everywhere is so, so important. And so in this, we're going to spend the whole next week on this particular sign. So I'm not going to go much into it other than just the scripture of Mark 13 says, and the gospel must be preached to all nations. Second, there's an increased time of great tribulation. In Mark 13, he as well says, you will be hated by everyone for my name's sake. Now, this is where we can't westernize the gospel. Because when you look around the world, and we may go, well, we're not close to that because we're not really getting persecuted yet, kind of thing. Well, just look around the world, though. And when you look in Asia, in the Middle East, and you look at different places in Africa, and you see the kind of persecution that these people are facing, it would be hard-pressed to show them that it could get any worse. But it will. And I think where it's going to get worse is not only in intensity, but frequency. It will be global. It will be everywhere. And somewhere in a little bit, we are inoculated from this. I think that's changing. I think I see that changing rapidly in our culture, that to stand up for Christ and to stand up for the things that you know God stands up for, you are not going to get favored. You are not going to get people who are going, wow, I really like you. You're going to get more of, I despise Christ in you. And if we're not ready for that, then it's going to take us by surprise. It's going to increase intensity and frequency. I think another sign is that there's going to be increased false Christs and false prophets that will arise. Now, if you look around the world on this one as well, you'll see that people who have been field workers in places where there is demonic activity that is prevalent and there's witchcraft and that kind of thing, they're getting this all over the place. And it's talk about signs and wonders and things that are going on. It's happening all over the place. And it's in particularly in how it's prohibiting the spread of the gospel in some areas. So again, here, we'll see that coming here in increased frequency and increased intensity. That's when you know it's turning up. When it's just like, man, thing after thing after thing. One of the strongest that we're going to get to in a couple weeks is the salvation of Israel and what's happening with Israel. And we'll take a whole Sunday to talk about that one because that's a big one. But when you look at Romans 9 through 11, there is obviously a massive gathering of Jews coming back to Christ. In fact, in Romans, it says, in Romans 11, it says this, that Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. In this way, all Israel will be saved. It is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them. I'll take away their sins. I see a lot of kind of confusion as to what it's about Israel right now and the Jewish nation, and are they really going to come back, or, you know, what's up with this, and the Jew and Gentile. I thought there wasn't no distinction between Jew and Gentile, male, female. That kind of, so I want to just talk specifically about this one, because this one probably, I think, is one of the most strongest signs that we're seeing, at least worldwide. That just points to it. And the more we know about it, the more we'll go, oh, okay, our senses are being heightened. Our expectation is increasing as to what is going on and what is exactly happening. And I could go on and on. There's natural disasters will begin to occur. And now we already see that, obviously, but it's going to be an increased frequency again and increased intensity. There's going to be immorality. And you go, well, aren't we there yet? Well, yeah, we are there, but it's going to be even worse. What's going to be right is going to be called wrong. What's going to be wrong is going to be called right. And it's going to see, again, an increased frequency and increased intensity. Now, is there a possibility that some of these things or all these things have already been fulfilled? Yeah, there is. Highly unlikely, but there is. And so we live in this tension, the tension of be ready. And yet, you know, he's coming, and yet on the other side, there's this sense in which we're just like, okay, but there's things that need to be done first. There's signs that we can see that haven't been accomplished yet. So, yes, he could come at any moment, but then also there's just things that need to be done. And so in that, I don't know. There's a tension, and we live in that. All I know is he says, don't lose your expectancy, but also know there's things that need to come. Which brings me then to just five what I would call W's of living in end times tension. And what are we to do? And these five are this: watch, wait, walk, work, and wake up. Watch, wait, walk, work, and wake up. Just take a moment on each one of these. First, just watch. This is just stay expectant. Mark 13, what do I say to everyone? Watch. You know, I don't know about you, but when you go through this life, and every time I see an injustice or I see something happening that I know is part of this fallen culture, it just causes me to go, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. And every time I say we're not home yet, it just further drives into me this expectations of when the blessed hope is coming. We're not home yet. So don't expect everything in this life just to kind of line up the way you think it will, because we're not home. Don't try to make this home. We're aliens and strangers. We're just passing through. This is just the pre-act to the major thing that's coming for eternity. So don't fall in love with the things now. Make sure that your heart is ready for those who don't know me, that they can come in with me in the end, to where we're headed. And so there's this sense in which you're just like, watch, be expectant. There's also this wait. I don't like waiting. You know, if you promise me something, then let's get it. You know, let's do it. But if you're going to be if you've been a Christian for very long, you understand the complexity of waiting. It's waiting in prayer. It's waiting on God. It's waiting for what he's going to do. Be patient then, James says, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. So you wait, but you wait expectantly. You wait patiently. Another one is you walk. How you walk with him and how you walk in these days is important. For the grace of God, and Titus says, has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we speak of Christ coming again, the natural question that comes to mind is this: are you ready? Are you ready? Do you have a saving faith in Jesus Christ? Because believing in God doesn't make you a Christian. Even the demons believe and shudder. Being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. You can go through the motions with that. As many as I've heard in testimonies of people and go, well, I was, but I just was going through the motions because it was just thought it was the next thing that I was supposed to do. It's a great thing. It's a necessary thing. But you can fake it. So it's possible to go to church, be around the church, know the church lingo, and know all of it, and not be a Christ follower. That should, in all of us, just make us kind of go, am I dancing around it, or do I really know him? Because see, when Christ comes again, all that's inside is revealed. What is dark in the dark is brought to light. What is hidden is no longer secret. It is brought into the light in full bore. And no one can enter into his kingdom based on their own righteousness, based on your own works, on our own deeds. We all fall woefully short. And there is no way that we can work into it. And to some, Jesus will say, welcome into my kingdom. Welcome into my rest. But to others, he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Well, Jesus, what about, we did this in your name, and we did this in your name, and we did this one in your name. And he goes, yes, I know, but depart from me. I don't even know you. You were doing all these things, but you don't know me. You don't have a relationship with me. Are you ready? Are you faking it? Do you feel like there's some way in which you're trying to work your way to heaven? Do you have any assurance at all right now if Christ came that you would be 100% sure that you would be with him? Do you have that? If not, we want to help you understand that. And I can't say this with enough people. This is not a game. He's coming. And we need to be ready. And we need to ask in our hearts, are our hearts really, is my heart really his? Or am I just kind of dancing around it? I think particularly in the South, this is a major temptation where part of church culture is just kind of part of everything. And so you can go to church, be church, do all that, and yet you don't know him. And it's one of the biggest things right now, I think, that is plaguing the church. You can have all the trappings of what's going on in the church, but your hearts are not his. And so we want to help you with that. That's what the church is for. So we watch, we wait, we walk. And then fourthly, as we come to it, is work. There's something for us to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Obviously the Great Commission, that there is something that we are to do, and that is that we are supposed to be concerned about people and where they are and their hearts and what's going on inside their hearts. That's part of the work that we're supposed to be doing now. And the last is wake up. And do this, understanding the present time, it says in Romans, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So if I asked you, are you expectant of his return? And if you said, not really, that's when Paul would say, wake up. What is it that you're not seeing? What is it that you think you're dancing around? Because time is moving along at a predetermined time that he has planned, and it is coming to fruition, and it is near, and we need to be ready, and we need to know that our hearts are his. Let's take it home. We're going to take communion together this morning. And if the ushers want to come forward and take some of the communion, we're going back to our old way of doing it. So we have them double stacked for you this morning. And so you, as the elements are passed to you. You'll find the bread is on the bottom, and obviously the juice is on the top. And so as we pass these to you, you can take those and hold on to those for a minute, because we're going to take this together. And as we go forward, we will be looking at more specifically at these different signs that we've talked about, and trying to get our minds wrapped around this full big picture. And the whole purpose of this is so that our hearts would be ready, so that we're not confused about what is to come, and how we can be ready, and how we are to respond in the midst of it. And part of our being ready is, as you have these and we wait here in these few moments, just go before the Lord and just come to Him and go, Lord, is my heart ready? Lord, is there anything that I need to clear that I'm secretly hiding from you? I can't hide it, but I think I am. And is there anything that I just need to come clean on and just say, Lord, would you cover this? As Paul wrote the church in Corinth, he says, whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so I want you to repeat this with me before we take the bread. Jesus has died for me, and he's coming again. Let's say it together. Jesus has died for me, and he's coming again. In the same way, we take the cup, and again we say, Jesus shed his blood for me, and he's coming again. Say it with me. Jesus shed his blood for me, and he's coming again. Let's stand and worship our last song together. As we were singing that, I couldn't help but see that screen. I'm thinking, is that a red sky in the morning, or is that a red sky at night? Is it coming up, or is it going down? According to our culture, what's it doing? That's a red sky in the morning. It's a red sky in the morning, so take warning. And he's coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Repeat that with me. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now say it with all your gusto. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You know what to do? Go love first. We love because he first loved us. If you would like prayer, anything, please come. We would love to pray for you.